Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
So let's meet the BBC's disinformation and social media correspondent who has written a book, Among the Trolls, My Journey Through Conspiracy Land, Mariana Spring. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Could you start by telling me the story, please, of Martin Hibbert and his daughter Eve?
Yes, so one of the most shocking cases of disinformation I think I've ever investigated involved survivors of the Manchester Arena attack, which happened back in 2017. And as was covered at the time, lots of people lost their lives, including, teenagers, families who attended this Ariana Grande concert that was happening in Manchester. It was a really distressing attack, and lots of people also experienced life-changing injuries. And one of those people is Martin Hibbert, who had a spinal injury and now uses a wheelchair. And his daughter Eve, who was at the concert with him, also has life-changing injuries following the attack. Not only had they been coping with that, but then also a wave of online abuse, conspiracy theories, and other nasty posts, videos taking aim at them, trying to essentially undermine the reality of what had happened to them, to suggest that the Manchester Arena attack had been staged in some way. And it turned out they weren't the only survivors of the Manchester Arena attack being targeted, and they weren't the only survivors of UK terror attacks who were being targeted either. And so I spent a lot of time trying to track down the different people who were involved in this. One particular person called Richard D. Hall, who had a track record of sharing these kinds of conspiracy theories. He'd even written a book, suggesting that the Manchester Arena attack could be staged in some way, and had secretly recorded survivors to see whether their injuries were faked or whether.
Sorry, was he actually accusing people who were in wheelchairs and who had serious brain injury requiring around-the-clock care of somehow faking their injuries, of trying to pretend that the Manchester Arena attack, which left 22 people dead and more than 1,000 injured, has somehow not happened?
Exactly that. I really wanted to figure out where this was coming from, particularly because it was causing very serious harm and distress to the survivors who were on the receiving end of it and the targets for these videos or secret filming. And I actually tracked down Richard D. Hall to a market stall in Wales. I tried to confront him, ask him questions. He didn't want to answer my questions. He told me everything's in my book, that I'd got it all wrong. Afterwards, he posted a video online admitting that he had spied on Eve Hibbert from a vehicle park near her home and secretly recorded her there and stuck by this idea that the arena attack was staged. And now Martin Hibbert has actually decided to take legal action against Richard D. Hall for damages for the harm that has been caused to him, which is the first of its kind happening here in the UK. People might have heard of Alex Jones, a conspiracy.
Well, I was just about to ask you that,
yeah.
And the Sandy Hook massacre of children, which he has been to the forefront of trying to deny ever happened.
Yeah, and he very much built a conspiracy empire around all kinds of content, including these false claims that the Sandy Hook school shooting, which happened in 2012, and again, lots of children were killed, that it was staged in some way, that it wasn't real, that crisis actors, people were paid to act out these events. And some of the family members, the parents of the children who'd been killed, actually decided to take legal action against him and won a huge amount of damages in the first case of its kind in America. And so a lot of people, including Martin Hibbert, have been taking a leaf out of their book and deciding that essentially legal action, although expensive in some cases, is perhaps one of the only ways of holding these people to account.
And is Hall, like Alex Jones, a grifter who's in it to make money off feeding false information to the gullible?
It's interesting because someone like Richard D. Hall is much less well known than Alex Jones, and certainly appears to, from the investigating I've done, have made less money. But nonetheless, he's got a committed following of people that would come and hear him talk at pubs, would attend his market stall, would follow his content. And I think a lot of this can be about that. It's not necessarily about making, you know, millions of pounds or dollars. Actually, it's about sustaining a living by sharing this kind of content, and about the fan base and the committed followers who really support you and buy into what you're saying. And I think that's one of the benefits that these people incur from behaving in this way, which causes very serious harm. I think in Richard D. Hall's case, from speaking to people also who worked with him, who knew him, I think he has in some ways convinced himself that this is real, or that he's, you know, that he's right, that it was staged in some way. But I think that's also because it's very useful for him right now in his current situation to convince himself of those things.
Have you managed to establish why it is that people fall for this type of thing?
I think it's important to separate out people who are the kind of leaders or the kind of main grafters in the conspiracy theory movement from then the followers. So I think that the people who spread this stuff very deliberately and perhaps a little bit more cynically often are getting something out of it, whether it's money or a following or feeling powerful or important. The people who are the followers, I tend to find, are deeply distrustful. They're often not stupid, or, you know, the other misconceptions people have about them. They're often hyper curious, very engaged. They often start with a legitimate concern or worry, a bad experience that's led to them feeling very let down. And then that quickly snowballs into, much more sprawling conspiracy theories about everything being staged or a hoax in some way. They're often seeking out community and purpose, and they find that in these conspiracy theory movements. And then they end up sort of really trapped down that rabbit hole, as we often say. It becomes actually really difficult to ever get back out, because your entire worldview and belief system is centered around these ideas. And often you become very isolated from reality and from your friends and family.
But when they become isolated, is that not a way that actually makes them realize that they are actually going up against reality, that what they believe in can't be true? Or is it that they believe they know better than everybody else?
I think that they, to some extent, I think that they kind of end up, because they become isolated from reality and their friends and family, but they become involved in and almost, you know, embraced by this other movement, this conspiracy theory movement. And so what they lose when they kind of disconnect from reality and from their lives and from their friends and family, they gain in a new way. And I think it's almost like this sort of quick fix to feeling, for whatever reason, you might be feeling that you're lacking agency, that you're feeling quite purposeless, that you're feeling quite sort of at a loss, and you have this immediate quick fix. But actually, it just adds salt to the wound, really. It leaves you then feeling even more sort of disillusioned and isolated, and it's a bit of a vicious cycle that you end up caught up in.
Is this a replacement for religion, the role it might have played for previous generations?
I think that, you know, not to compare the two directly, but I do think that an absence of local community, and then to some degree, you know, religious community, which, you know, people would have been seeing each other in, you know, whether it's a town square or a church or wherever you might decide to meet up with other people who live close by. I think there's been a real decline in that. And I really noticed that with a lot of the people who really believe these conspiracy theories, that rather than, you know, going to a real town square where they could talk to all kinds of different people, or perhaps, you know, being involved in their church, maybe that would have given them a sense of purpose and fulfillment and being a part of something and having a belief system that they can follow and that they abide by. I think that people are often filling that gap with conspiracy theories. And, you know, you think of the virtual town square. The virtual town square is rife with hate and disinformation and polarization. And you're not necessarily encountering all kinds of different people who challenge you or who don't agree with you. You're often encountering people that further entrench your biases. And that's how you end up kind of falling down this rabbit hole. So I do think that shift, you know, that absence of community in particular, plays a big part in this. And people feeling like they have to seek it out online, which can have positives. You know, people make great friends and are able to connect with communities they wouldn't have known before. But the flip side of that is when someone is vulnerable to disinformation and conspiracy theories, they end up falling deeper into this kind of world and becoming much more isolated, perhaps from the community that they crave.
How difficult and indeed dangerous can it be to report on this type of thing, given that some of these people become so invested in what they believe that they become almost violent in their contempt, particularly for those in what they regard as the mainstream media, for pointing out what actually is real and what isn't?
I think that, you know, very much investigating this world makes me a lightning rod for the very things I expose, particularly kind of trolling and all forms of hate. But I think it's incredibly valuable to really get up close with this stuff, not to kind of reside in an ivory tower, but to go out and come face to face with people and to ask them difficult questions and to try and understand why this all happens, whether it's the people who've been harmed or the people who are causing the harm or holding the social media companies to account. And the very act of doing that definitely does make me a target for the trolls. And I see myself in some ways as a bit of a case study. You know, the way I'm targeted with online abuse and also the way that online abuse spills offline is very much emblematic of what's happening to all of the people whose stories I investigate. And I think for me, just further reinforces how important it is to interrogate and expose exactly how this works.
Yeah, but how does it happen to you, and how do you deal with that?
I think, you know, for me, it's I've become almost slightly desensitized to it. You become really used to it. There are examples I talk about in the book of how that has manifested in the real world. So, you know, people harassing me outside of work or being abusive and towards me, which, you know, I think particularly for a conspiracy theory movement that prides itself on championing freedom of expression, it seems a pretty sinister thing when an investigative journalist in the UK is intimidated and harassed for doing their job.
And one final thing, Mariana Spring, you've got examples from Ireland in the book as well, haven't you?
I do. One of the cases that I've investigated involves a conspiracy theory newspaper that exists both here in the UK and also in Ireland, the Irish Light. And I look at one particular case involving a mum whose son took his own life and then featured on the front page of this conspiracy theory newspaper. And so
On the basis of a false link to the COVID-19 vaccine.
Yes, so the front page was suggesting that this young man, as well as several others, were actually, they'd died because of the vaccine, or linked in a way that was linked to the vaccine in some way, that they hadn't died in the way that their families and friends had, you know, documented and suggested. And this was incredibly distressing for the parents and those linked to these children in particular. This one mother who then decided that actually she wanted to take legal action, again, like Martin Hibbert, against this conspiracy theory newspaper and its editor. I, you know, spoke to her lawyer and was able to really interrogate her case, which was one of the most vicious examples of trolling I'd seen. You know,
well, let me update you, Mariana, because only last Friday in the High Court, it was reported that there were 20 efforts have been made by Gardaí to locate the editor of the Irish Light, Gemma O'Doherty. And she still hasn't turned up in front of a judge to answer the complaint alleging she's in contempt of the High Court orders. She has left the jurisdiction rather than coming back to face the music.
I have to say that it's unusual sometimes, I think, for conspiracy theorists to be held to account, but they don't tend to like it very much.
Mariana Spring, thank you very much for joining us. The book is Among the Trolls, My Journey Through Conspiracy Land.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.